Welcome to Advanced Automation, a podcast by Calvary Robotics, where you'll find industry leaders and experts sharing their thoughts on the world of automation.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for listening. I'm Josh Gravel, your host for this installment of Advanced Automation. Today, we have with us Paul Klinker. He is a VP of Factory Automation Sales for Americas at Cognex. Paul, thanks so much for being with us today.
Josh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, we got a big topic. I know I roped you into the evolution of vision products, and it's kind of for you, it's quite a bit to chew on and talk about. But before we do that, I want people to get to know you a little bit more. Can you tell us about, you know, what you do now and how you got to be where you are?
Sure. So as you mentioned, I'm the vice president of sales for our factory automation sales team. And I've been with Cognex for over 14 years. I started in 2010 with Cognex as a sales engineer. And a little bit before that, just my background, I was an engineer. I went to Purdue, Midwest guy, grew up in Indiana, and kind of took the obvious path of engineering at Purdue University, graduated. And pretty quickly after graduation, realized I wanted to be in sales and technical sales. And so that's really what I've spent most of my career in. And at Cognex, you know, I've stayed in our sales group for the whole time. So I've been in this automation world my whole career and specifically at Cognex. And so since 2010, I've really been focused in the U.S. and in automotive manufacturing and really our factory automation manufacturing. And now I'm in charge of our factory automation group here across the Americas.
What was your past like, though, for maybe high school into before college? Were you a technical kid? What's your past like there?
Yeah, I've always been, I kind of had one of the rare, I would say lucky situations where I always knew I wanted to study engineering. And so even when I was in high school, my favorite class was the shop class or the tech ed classes in high school. And so I was kind of rare in the fact that I knew I wanted to do mechanical engineering specifically at Purdue since I was probably a junior in high school. And so, and that's what I did. I never really wavered on that. Went through all the years at Purdue, did engineering, you know, had internships at Caterpillar and General Electric and others, and all focused on around manufacturing. And so it was always kind of, you know, my passion and interest was in mechanical and, you know, electrical things. And so I've kind of always stayed in that technical realm.
Awesome. Now for maybe the few that don't know, Cognex, one of the biggest names in the game, can you give us some history and all about the company?
Sure. So for Cognex, a lot of folks know the name and have heard about it. We've been in business since 1981, and it was founded by Dr. Robert Shillman. It's kind of an interesting story. He was a professor at MIT, and he recruited two of his grad students to kind of start this company with him. Wow. Back before machine vision was even, you know, a thing. And their first product actually was a product called Dataman, which we still have that product name today. In 1982, they launched this product doing OCR character reading. And, you know, back in the early days and really the first 15 years or so of Cognex's history was really focused around the semiconductor market. This was, you know, really when that in the 90s, when the semiconductor, you know, wave came around the world, and that was really Cognex's main business. And so it wasn't until about 2000 or so that we really expanded into the factory automation world, which is kind of where we're best known now. And around the 2000 is really when I would say this inflection point where we kind of got out of this maybe focused more on the general factory automation market and not just focused on semi and electronics. And really, I would say this period of 2000 to 2010, it was really a really expansive period for Cognex and for the technology specifically. And we kind of will cover that, I think, in a little bit. But fast forward, Cognex in about 2010 then expanded our market into logistics. And so the retail distribution market and things like that. And have really continued to grow along with the market over the past, you know, 10, 15 years to where we are now. So in 2024, Cognex has about 3,000 employees globally. We're a publicly traded company on the NASDAQ. Revenue, typically, you know, $900 million to $1 billion, and $900 million to $1 billion. And so we're really a a global company. We have sales and engineering offices all over the world. Pretty balanced, really. You know, the company is headquartered in Boston, you know, from our MIT roots, but we have engineering centers in Europe, engineering centers in Asia, and so really are able to kind of cover a global market. If you kind of look at Cognex's main markets now, we have, I would say, three main areas. It's the factory automation world, you know, and these are what I'm part of, which is basically anybody who's manufacturing a product, whether that's pharmaceutical, food and bev, automotive. If you're in manufacturing, that's, you know, you're probably using some level of automation. That's our largest segment. The second largest is logistics. And so, like I said, if you're shipping something, you know, think of your Amazons and Walmarts of the world. That's our second largest. And then third is electronics. This is the semiconductor and electronics market, a lot of it in Asia. So that's kind of the three main markets that Cognex is in. And it's kind of a snapshot of who we are.
That's great. You hit all of the talking points I'd want to ask about. Thank you so much. I guess now I want to take us to our main discussion, the big one, the elephant in the room, the evolution of vision products. So you talked about DataMan software in the beginning, roots for Cognex. But if you can take us through what vision was like in the beginning and just how it's evolved over the years.
Sure. So what I'll start with is maybe around 2000, because I think that's really probably relevant for most of the listeners that are, you know, probably in the automation world. And so around 2000 is where Cognex, I would say, really was the market leader in what we would say smart cameras or vision systems. And this is an embedded device where instead of needing an external PC, an external controller, et cetera, the computing power was done on the system itself. And so, you know, if you're familiar with Cognex, this was our Insight platform. And it really was, I would say, kind of changed the game in factory automation in that these manufacturers were able to deploy these systems out on their production lines in a factory environment. And so it didn't have to be in a clean room or a lab type environment where you have a PC and a, you know, a bunch of kind of data scientists able to do this. You're able to do this in a general factory environment. So when I think of the evolution of the vision market, I kind of think of things in two main groups. And it's this, call it 2000 to maybe 2010 period. And this is where I would say that the early adoption or initial adoption of machine vision was started. You know, these are customers that were trying to tackle pretty basic applications. And we used to kind of classify these as in a couple different buckets. You know, these are guiding robots. Customers wanted to, you know, have their robot pick and place an item on a conveyor or whatnot. Doing general inspection, you know, whether that's assembly checks or whatnot. Gauging, non-contact measurement, and then identifying. And that, whether that's reading a barcode or identifying product based on color or whatnot. And this was really the prevailing applications for a long time. And when I started in 2010, this was really the market, is that you had a lot of manufacturers, a lot of automotive customers that were trying to find ways to adopt vision. And what I would say in this kind of era, I guess you could call it, is that you would need to have some level of expertise on vision. You know, you might not necessarily need to be a computer programmer, but you would need to have a certain level of vision system understanding. You know, you would need to know, okay, if I'm going to solve this application, I need to use this, you know, histogram tool or this pattern tool and certain functionality accordingly. And I would say we would always used to say it was somewhat of an art and a science for machine vision, is that you'd have to certainly have the technical know-how, but there was a lot of just kind of a little bit of a black art to it to understand how to make these applications work, right? Yeah. And that was kind of the industry up until around 2015, 2016 at timeframe. And that's where things started to really change. And so that's kind of what I think of as an inflection point in the industry, and certainly with Cognex, is where we've had this whole idea of artificial intelligence and deep learning.
Right.
And that's kind of where we saw a big change in the industry and certainly within Cognex. So I'll kind of pivot to that. So if we kind of think of the evolution of machine vision, think of it maybe 2016 and below and beyond, you know, previous and then after that. So where has it come since then?
Sure.
And so, you know, that's what we, you know, and that's kind of the, what I would say the era we're in now. And I can kind of go into that a bit more if you'd like. I was just at PAC Expo, the trade show in Chicago this week. And, you know, you go around to every booth and you see virtually every company now is saying they have AI this and IoT that, you know, and I always am thinking to myself, okay, that's great, but what does that actually mean? You know, what if I'm a customer, what do I actually do with that?
Sure.
And so I'll kind of walk through, you know, maybe the evolution and kind of it might help to understand how we got here. But, you know, in 2017, Cognex purchased a company called ViDi. This was a deep learning kind of pioneer in manufacturing as a European-based company. And this whole idea of using deep learning neural networks in manufacturing was kind of just getting started. I mean, there might have been some, you know, adopters before that, but, you know, it was really pretty niche. And even the Facebooks and Amazons of the world were trying to starting to get into this deep learning type of large language model type of, you know, technology. And then in 2019, we bought another company called SuaLab, which is a South Korean deep learning company. And since then, I've really spent significant amount of resources, investments, and research into this deep learning market, you know. And so all of this is great. And you know, the idea of, okay, you have this deep learning neural network capability, a lot of it is PC vision based. How do you make that usable in the real world? And that's kind of where I like to talk about is, all of this deep learning AI stuff is nice, but what do I actually do with it? How does it actually help me
if
I'm a end user and a manufacturer? And so I would say the major inflection point for us and for the market was in actually, believe it or not, in 2020, obviously kind of a chaotic time around the world, but we launched a product called the D900, which was really the industry first deep learning smart camera. Wow. And so why does that matter? So what that enabled you to do was for all of these customers that were used to using a Cognex vision system, you know, that's a, you know, the smart camera type of device, we were able to do deep learning applications on a smart camera. So you were able to use this in a general manufacturing type of environment. So instead of needing a computer programmer and a PC and all this other stuff that a lot of manufacturers don't want on their factory floor, you were able to deploy a deep learning type of application on a smart camera package. And so that really, I would say, changed the trajectory of our company and certainly, and to some degree, the market of what you were able to do in a general manufacturing application. and the reason, that's great. Deep learning, everyone's kind of heard that buzzword, but how does it help you? You know, what do you actually do differently? And the way that it's different is this, is that instead of in the past where I said you needed to know what vision tools to use and have some level of expertise of what to do, it took away a lot of that kind of art of it where you needed to have some just general understanding. The way you program a vision system now or a deep learning type of system is it's example-based training. So instead of knowing, okay, I need to use this vision tool for this application, or I need to set these parameters, you show the vision system or you show the neural network what a good image looks like and what a bad image looks like, and it teaches itself. You know, think of almost like you're training a new operator on the production line, and you say, okay, this is a bad product. This is what a defect looks like. This is what a good product looks like, and it learns itself. That's the advantage, is that you no longer need to know how to, you know, a lot of times you don't even need to know how the vision system is determining things. It's learning over time, just like a human brain works. And so that this is really where you're able to not only solve applications that you would have never been able to solve before, you know, very subjective inspections or things that are, you know, very confusing to a computer, you can solve now with these applications. And you can do it in a package that is actually able to be deployed on a manufacturing floor. So it doesn't, you know, this is kind of a, you know, built for manufacturing where you have all the factory protocols and communications. It's not just like a PC, like a laptop where you say, okay, that's great that I can, you know, pull up a video online or something and search for it. It's actually deployable in a manufacturing environment. And so that was really the inflection point around 2020. And since then, Cognex has launched really every year. We've kind of come out with successive launches of products that make it even easier, simpler, more powerful, all in this deep learning AI, type of applications in a smart camera package. That's really been what I would say has been the game changer in this market over the past 3 or 4 years.
That's fascinating. You're talking about the evolution and the adoption too. Where does that leave the operators or the vision engineers? Is it a quicker road for them to then learn, use, and then grow with the products? Is that the case, do you think?
Yeah, it is. And what it allows the end user to do is focus on manufacturing their product and not tweaking a vision system, right? Is that anybody who's purchased a vision system in the last 20 years knows what I'm talking about there is you kind of have to go out and constantly tweak settings and things like that. And nobody wants to spend their time doing that. What the AI and neural networks have allowed customers to do is to have a more robust vision system out on the production line. And so you don't need to have a vision expert, you know, you don't need to necessarily have a trained integrator that's, you know, gone to a certification on vision to that they're the only ones that can touch this thing. You know, if you say, hey, I found a few more defects I want to add to my library, you can do that and it can retrain itself and get smarter over time. And so that's the benefit to the end users is that you're able to manage your own vision systems yourself in a much more sustainable way, I guess you could put it. And the other thing, and one thing I always like to point out too, when we talk about usability on the manufacturing floor is there's a lot of deep learning models out there where you need 10,000 images to train them to the network. And, right, you know, yeah. This sounds great. And if you're Facebook and you have millions of users, okay, that's possible. But in manufacturing, it's just not possible, right? And so what specifically the Cognex new edge learning type of neural networks allow you to deploy these systems with very few images trained. So you can deploy a vision system that's, you know, let's say you're inspecting for, you know, to make sure this part was assembled correctly. You can deploy that with less than 10 images. And so you don't need hundreds or thousands of images in order to train this neural network. Very quickly, with very few images, you can have a running system out on your factory floor. That's the advantage of what these new vision systems can do versus, you know, having to upload 10,000 images to a cloud and taking 2 days to train this neural network. These are systems now with 10 images you can train on the device in 2 or 3 seconds. It's really unbelievable what the systems can do now that even a few years ago wasn't even technically possible. There's certainly a spectrum, right? If you have a really complicated application or if you have very minor defects that you're looking for, it'll take more images than that. I'm kind of maybe oversimplifying and saying for a lot of applications, they're pretty simple, right? So assembly checks or part presence and things like that. Very few images are needed. If you're getting into something where, you know, if you're a battery manufacturer and you need to detect some very, very minor scratches or dents or things that are very hard to distinguish between what is a good product and a bad, like even you look at it with the human eye, you can't even tell the difference type of situations, then those will take more image sets, et cetera. You kind of, you know, I say go up the food chain with complexity and compute power, et cetera. But what I would say is, and that's certainly possible, but what really has been a big kind of where the volume is, where a lot of the number of devices that are deployed are at the simple end, you know, the the smart camera type of solution.
So do you see any, so is there anybody pushback or any like the cons side of things for this? What would you say those are?
Yeah. So, and this is not necessarily just a Cognex issue, but it, you know, the issue becomes some customers, and I would say this is more specific in pharmaceutical or, you know, these validated systems where they want to know how is the system determining what is good and bad. Right. And that's kind of the black box nature of this neural network type of solution is, how do I know, like, why is it making the decision? You know, and in the past, you could say, well, it's because this threshold, you know, you have a range. And if this tolerance goes out over this threshold, then it's bad. Right. Well, now with this neural network type of situation, it's really a black box. It is this, you know, it is determining, okay, this product is good and this product is bad. And it's not going to spit out a value of why it's bad, right? It's kind of doing its own internal, you know, calculations, essentially, if you could even call it a calculation. So that's been one of the areas that we've had to overcome is specifically in pharmaceuticals, how do I validate that my system is working, right? And so the way that we've done this, and I won't get into the minutia, but is it's really, you have to validate the whole process and you have to validate with a large enough sample set. It's kind of like doing a gauge R&R for measurement. Is you have to make sure that your gauge block is accurate and your measurement device is accurate. I almost compare it to that, which is you have to have a procedure that's a robust procedure to say, is my system giving me the correct answer? You know, and it has to be over a certain number of images and over a certain variation, et cetera. To validate, is the neural network trained correctly, or is it going to give me what I think should be a good part and it's saying it's bad, or vice versa? That's definitely been an area, and Cognex has developed kind of and we worked with our customers to develop help them validate their systems. And like I said, it's very common in the pharma industry to say, how do I validate that my system is working correctly? You have to, you know, especially in the deep learning world, you have to have the right procedure to validate that. So that's definitely been an area that I would say, you know, pushback or hesitancy to use deep learning systems for that question is, how do I validate it?
Gotcha. Now, what about, I know that comes up with, you know, AI, machine learning, all that is the data, right? The input of what you're putting into the system. Is that, I have kind of two questions. Who owns that? Where does that go? And then on top of that, do you need, are you like on the factory floor, you're going to need a really robust internet connection to keep that alive and functioning, or how does that operate?
Sure. So to answer your first question about who owns the data. So and particularly with Cognex, you know, and I would say this is works the way with most companies is the end customer or the integrator that they're partnered with. Like Cognex itself or the deep learning software, you would own that software essentially. And so you would own the inputs, right? So, you know, when I say Cognex, like we think of, it's still similar analogy to think of like Microsoft Excel, where, you know, Microsoft provides you, you know, the Excel sheet, and then you type in what cells you want to calculate, right? Microsoft doesn't own that.
Sure.
It's similar ideas that we provide you the tool, you would program it to whatever you want it to be programmed for. So we don't own the data. We don't even see the data.
Okay.
And that kind of leads to the second point, and this is actually an important point. A lot of manufacturers don't want their factories connected to the internet, right? It's a risk. It's a security, you know, entry point, et cetera. And so these systems, even if it's a high-end PC vision system, they do not require a constant connection to the internet. If you wanted to do cloud computing and that gets into kind of a different type of solution, then it obviously requires an internet connection. But these systems are deployed locally, what is, you know, what called like an edge device, right? And so the actual processing of the image, whether it's good or bad, is done at the device level. It's not done in the cloud. And so you don't need an internet connection. You don't need an outside connection to run your factory. You know, think of it right now, if you're running a PLC or a vision system now, they run on their own. And so you would train the neural network. Let's say you even have a high-end vision system where you would need you would train the neural network in the cloud. You would deploy that or download that essentially to the edge device, whether that's a vision system or whether that's a PC. And then once that neural network is downloaded, it runs on its own. It doesn't require a consistent connection. Because, you know, like I said, a lot of manufacturers don't want their factory connected to the internet. They don't want to have their production line go down if, you know, the internet goes down type of situation.
Right.
And for, you know, for security risks. And so that's an important point, is these systems. And the other important point, and this is, you know, is that you also don't want to continually retrain your system necessarily, because you want to control what it's learning, right? Like you want to, a lot of these companies, you know, they're starting to really develop a good, robust procedure for, you know, like I said, you train it by giving it images to input, right? And you want to control what images it learns on, right? You want to say, these are the good images, these are the bad images. You want your like quality person to say, yes, that is a bad, that is a scratch or a dent, or no, that's not, that's just a product variation we want to keep. You want to control what it's learning essentially. And then maybe every month or every 6 months or whatever the frequency is, maybe then you would add those new images to retrain itself, but you don't want it to be continually training, because then you don't know what's training on. You know, you might think this image is good and it, you know, it can kind of go off the rails pretty quickly. So in order to really control your process, you want to control the input to the neural network. So you don't want it to be constantly retraining. That's compared to maybe like your Instagram feed, which is constantly learning what you like, and it's feeding you stuff that you like kind of in real time. That's not the way that it works in manufacturing, at least most that I've seen. Is you want to set the criteria ahead of time and then let the system kind of to be deployed based on those criteria or those inputs. You don't want it to be learning over time, because then you don't know where it's going to go.
Right.
It's kind of a fundamentally different way to do deep learning than you would like as a more a consumer or something like that.
What do you see as the future trends for vision products and for Cognex?
I see it kind of two paths. I see one path is the high-end computing power. So this is where, you know, you think of your cloud computing and your, you know, your, you know, deep learning, really complicated neural networks. There's going to be a lot of applications that require this. You know, you think of your high-speed applications in electronics or in battery production, where you need to look for really small, minor defects at a very high speed, right? That's kind of the high end. And these are complicated solutions, you know, that customers need. And that's one area that Cognex has invested heavily in, and the customers. And I still see a need for that. And that's kind of the, call it the high end. You know, I want to have, you know, my manufacturing facilities all over the world connect to the cloud and use the same neural network, you know, like some really sophisticated solutions. That's the high end, which is certainly one path. And then I'd say the second path is these smart devices, you know, I call them, you know, vision systems or vision sensors. That's kind of the, call it the, I don't want to say low end, but, you know, the simple end of this, which is for a few thousand dollars, you can have a vision system with a handful of images, you know, 10, 15 images, few thousand dollar type of vision sensor, be up and deployed in a matter of minutes on your production line. Very simple solutions. But very powerful applications that would have taken days or weeks to program a few years ago, you know, 5 or 10 years ago, you would have taken you thousands of dollars and an integrator and a, you know, 2 weeks on site to program this thing. And now you can do it in 10 minutes. It's really amazing. That's kind of the simple end. I think that'll continue to get simpler and more powerful, you know, that kind of the smart device level. So I think there's kind of two paths that the technology will take. It's the high end, really complicated, powerful computational, you know, systems, and then the sensor end, which is simple applications that the customers can deploy very quickly.
That's great. So it really is that steady upward trend of just more powerful, but easier to implement, you know?
Yep, exactly.
So is there anything you want to add before we close out? I do want to ask, how do your customers work with you? And I know that, you know, Calvary, we're a systems integrator and work with Cognex, and there's a lot of adoption and working directly with your engineers and things. But could you kind of quickly talk about the your customers and how you work with them, and even developing new, because you spoke about earlier, developing new products and things, how that kind of plays
out? Yeah. So even if you have, you know, so the question is this something that you could buy from a catalog? Maybe in the future. I don't think so anytime soon, because there's still a lot of application knowledge that the Cognex and our sales team around the world uses to say, okay, how do you solve these applications? What applications are good to use machine vision for? What applications are not? And so what Cognex does, you know, we have 3,000 employees globally, about half of the company, about 1,500 people in our company are in the field, whether that's in sales or in application engineers in the field. And so this is not just something where you say you visit our website and you download the product and good luck. You know, we have thousands, literally hundreds or thousands, over 1,000 salespeople locally that can come visit your facility, look at an application and say, this is the path you want to go down. You know, they can even help you deploy it. You know, for Calvary specifically, you know, we have engineers that are local to you guys and then also local to your end user. So if you're building a machine, shipping that machine to Texas, you know, then there's a local Cognex person in Texas that can support you and your end user wherever that machine might end up. Or if the machine is built in Korea and shipped over here to Mexico, we have people that can support both locations. And so that's another key that I've seen is, you know, we've seen a lot of these deep learning kind of startup companies that it's five guys in an apartment in Palo Alto type of situation, you know,
right.
That's great. They might have a deep learning neural network that's pretty slick, but how do you actually support it in the real world? You know, how do you actually take care of your customers? And that's a strength that Cognex has, is that we have worldwide support, worldwide engineers, and we can help not just here locally, but anywhere your systems or your customers might be. And that's a big strength of ours too. It's not just the technology, it's also the worldwide presence.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense. Anything that you'd like to add before we close out?
No, I would say that's really it. I mean, you know, maybe I summarized, you know, pretty well last time, but it's Cognex is invested. For reference, we invest about 14% of our revenue in R&D, and for a reference point, Amazon and Microsoft invest like 12%. So as a percent of revenue, we invest a huge amount of our revenue into R&D to stay on the forefront of technology. Is that we're not a company that's sitting back waiting for the next trend to happen. We want to be on the cutting edge of technology, but we also want to have a large enough field sales and support team to be able to be local to wherever your manufacturing is. And so, you know, a combination of leading edge technology and local support is really what's been able to make Cognex successful.
Awesome. And I need to know, how do we connect with you? How does the listener connect? The website, you know, as a phone, email, social media, what to watch, stay on top of, or even connecting with you, Paul.
Sure. The easiest way, you know, without listing off a bunch of numbers, is really the website, cognex.com. If you know, there's a bunch of customer success stories, you know, if you'd like to highlight those, the top right, if you look at our website, the top right, there's a contact us, you know, button, makes it real easy, whether you're in Germany or whether you're in the US, a local phone number and an email contact, and we'll have local engineers help you out with whatever you need.
Thanks again, Paul, for joining us to talk about the evolution of vision products. I really appreciate your time today.
All right, Josh. Appreciate it. Thank you.
And thank you to all the listeners for your time. Make sure to head over to calvaryrobotics.com, where you can find lots of great content under the Resources tab. You can check out our blog, watch our video series, Robotics Revolution, and listen to other episodes of Advanced Automation. And always, if you're looking to elevate your production capabilities with premier robotic system integration and manufacturing automation solutions, then hit the contact button on our website to connect with us about your next project. Have a great day.